Service stations, petrol stations, they've been around for over a century and have always been a part of the urban landscape, and for good reason, because you need them. You love to drive. You've always chosen the wheel over other modes of transport, and part of that comes with petrol consumption. But with the EV market being talked about, ramping up, changes being made, we talk a little bit about targets and climate change and everything that you're changing in your life. What does the future of the petrol station look like? Steve Sammartino is your regular futurist, here to mull it over with you this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya.
Petrol stations. I heard it described as they're going through their Kodak moment at the moment. Do you think that's where they're at?
It's funny, Kodak moment used to be Kodak moment, take a photo. Now it's like
used to be an advertising slogan. Now it's like, remember when they died?
Downfall. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think they are. I mean, one thing that is inevitable is the shift towards battery electric vehicles. And when you have a battery electric vehicle, you don't need a service station. And so for me, their only method of survival is selling something other than petrol. But if you're selling something other than petrol, you've got to have a reason to stop there. And if you're not stopping for petrol, why are you stopping?
Well, and interestingly, the charging stations we have scattered around the community at the moment are free.
Yeah, well, that's right. So you've got a couple of issues. The first thing is that most of the charging stations we're seeing aren't in petrol stations. Mm. They're at car parks in the city. They're in
information centres. Wineries.
They're on, yeah, all of those kind of places where they're not, they're where you will stay more permanently. Because the thing with charging is that it takes some time, right? And even the high-speed ones are 20 minutes, whereas charging it on a normal charger, it might take you a number of hours, even up to 8 hours to charge it. So it's not something that you stop on the way to going somewhere. On average, it takes less than 5 minutes to fill up your car with petrol. It's about 4.5 minutes from, it seems longer than that, but that's how long it takes. And so, yeah, they're not in petrol stations. And the other thing is too, let's say that you could stop at a petrol station to charge, there's no money in it. Because to charge an electric car could cost a few dollars versus $80.
Mm.
So even if you would stop there, there's not a lot of money, and electricity is on its way to becoming free. Electricity is going to be free. I know this sounds crazy, but it's going to be free within a decade.
What can petrol stations learn from something like Kodak and how that was maybe not handled so well?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that Kodak didn't understand was that they were addicted to selling film, and their film was at $9 a pop for 24 photos, and they thought there's no way we can make more money than what we do now. Mm. The system of turning the photos from the film was a really profitable system. The one thing you need to learn is that the audience is more important than what they buy. If you can make sure that you keep your customers in your house, in your world, then you can usually figure out, if you've got enough people in critical mass, to find another way to turn a profit. So, you know, Facebook is a $1 trillion company. The biggest Kodak ever was a $29 billion company, right? So it's way bigger. And they found another method of advertising around pictures that people shared. And so petrol stations need to do the same thing and say, okay, people aren't going to stop to fill up their car. Maybe people are going to stop to fill up their tummies. Mm. So it's going to become a cafe. Or people are going to come to our real estate now, which we totally repurpose. The repurposing of real estate happens, you know, quite frequently. We just don't think about it so much. So why would you stop at a petrol station if you're not getting petrol? Well, you know, maybe it's a cafe, maybe it's a restaurant, maybe it's a delivery hub for e-commerce solutions. You know, they're in really good locations. They become micro warehouses to sell products.
How are we already seeing this start to happen?
Yeah, so overseas, in a lot of countries, EVs are really well developed, in Denmark and a few of those countries. And so we've even seen areas that are, you know, resting labs on highways, co-working spaces if they're in inner city areas. They're converted into small supermarkets. And the other thing that is interesting is when you don't have petrol and oil, they're not smelly places. So they'd actually be reconfigured to be something that is quite nice and is a place that you'd want to stop at. So overseas, they're converting to food, to co-working, and also to distribution warehouses, largely for e-commerce. Because e-commerce is more suited, rather than having one big, large warehouse, to having a number of small little places where you can distribute products to you know, local suburbs or local areas.
How quickly, Steve, do you think we're going to have to see, you know, our current petrol stations start to change and start to put these consumer behaviours in place even before they pull out the Bowsers and put in the EV charging stations?
It has to happen a lot quicker than people think. And the reason isn't so much the adoption of electric cars. It's because the critical mass of any business is usually the last 20% that you make profit on. So, like, if a business, you know, if its revenue went down by 20%, it kind of goes broke. This is the issue that most people don't see. And it's the same with coal mines shutting down, is that it's that final 20% of volume that makes a business profitable. So if even 20% of cars become electric, then that business goes from being profitable to not profitable. So they have to adapt quickly. The other thing that I think most people aren't taking into account when looking at electric car uptake is that it'll happen quicker than we think. Because when you're starting to look at buying a car, and I know I just did it recently, I'm thinking, if I buy a petrol car now, will I be able to sell it in 3 years? And so that will be one of the big decisions that consumers make, which make it happen a lot quicker. So the need to look at it now, because the world can change rapidly, and you all of a sudden you say, oh my God, no one's buying newspapers and no one's getting film developed. It falls off a cliff. And so this industry has to look at it like straight away. They're almost behind the eight ball, I would say.
At the same time, cars are funny because I still know people getting around in cars with cassette tapes in them. We do tend to hold on to them sometimes for a very long time. We can't completely get rid of the Bowsers, right?
100%. So here's what's going to happen. And this happens in every industry, right? 90% of it will go away. All right. 10% of it will still be there, 10 or 20%. We still have blacksmiths today and farriers and all sorts of old traditional jobs. They still exist. They just exist on a smaller scale. And so, you know, people with collectible cars and old cars, it might be even, 50% of the volume. So what you'll see is the industry contract and serve those that are there, and it can even become more profitable. Sometimes an old industry that disappeared because there's not enough for everyone to go around, those who stay and find a way to make it work can actually make more money by servicing, that traditional segment. And, classic cars are actually going through a real price boom. You can get these days a Tirana SLR 5000. They go for 120 grand and they're gas guzzlers. So there's this whole movement towards old technology. I mean, we still have gas lamps. There's a lot of tech that existed 100 years ago is still here today. It just becomes niche.
If it becomes harder to find a traditional Bowser, is that sometimes the final straw that push people over the line?
I think that the businesses supporting a declining industry stay around longer than they should, right? So I actually think that consumers will lead the change more than, gee, I can't find anywhere to fill up my car. I think it'll be the other way around where people go, look, I don't want to spend $80 filling up my car when I can charge it for under $10 or even free if it's in one of the free charging places, which shopping centres will do. They'll be like, charge your car free here at the local Westfield shopping centre.
Where you're in watching a movie shopping.
Yeah, while you're watching a movie or, if you stay for 3 hours or you spend X amount in the same way that you get the free parking, this time you'll get the free charging. It'll make you stay longer, spend more money. They'll take the petrol money. It'll change places. Instead of $80 being on petrol, the $70 goes into the shopping centre that otherwise wouldn't have been spent there.
Yeah,
No, you're right. I think that consumers will lead the charge.
Matt in Maitland has a question around, you said before, electricity will be free in the future. Matt says, how, if all the infrastructure will still need to be maintained? A home PV system will not charge a car overnight, says Matt.
Yeah, so what will happen is that we call it the zero marginal cost society. So what we have is a one-time infrastructure cost. So there is a setup cost, right? So you need to get your solar PV panels and your battery in your house. But the electricity itself is generated free from the wind, the sun, and geothermal. And we're already very, very clearly on that path. And so electricity will be free, a little bit like content that you get on your computer is free. You don't have to pay for that now. Or music is free. You just need to get your phone and you can stream music for free. So we used to buy CDs. Crazy, huh? And so many things now that we used to pay for have become free when we look at it. And newspapers, news is free online mostly. And electricity will be the same. It'll just be a setup cost. And then after that, the generation and the distribution of the electricity will be free. And so it's going to be really hard for fossil fuels to compete.
Oh, it's going to be so interesting to see how these changes start to make. I can already get a coffee, get lunch cooked for me and pick up my parcel at my local servo. So there's already a lot that I do there that has nothing to do with fuel.
Yeah, and that example there is a classic future. It's just about saying, how can we repurpose the real estate for people and payloads and packages and filling up tummies instead of filling up petrol tanks?
Yeah, Steve, great to have this chat. Thank you.
No worries, Kaya.
Steve Sammartino, futurist, your regular guest here on ABC Newcastle Mornings.